So as we've gone almost halfway through Hebrews chapter 11, we've seen the action of faith start to take place. And as we look at Abel, he had a faith that understood and came to know what true forgiveness was as he made a sacrifice of atonement that was needed. And Enoch had a faith that was fellowshipping with God. And Abraham, a faith that moved out of, we called that stepping out of the boat faith, not just walking on water faith, but faith that has to step out of the boat first. Amen. And we're going to move forward tonight in deeper into Hebrews chapter 11. And I came across a quote about a modern day hero of faith, if I could say that, because we know that faith has a vocabulary, faith has a posture, faith has movement, faith brings out our identity with God. And I came across this quote regarding Mother Teresa, and I just wanted to open with this because we're talking about faith. And we know that faith is not, we do not go by what we see, right? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So we don't go by how we feel. That's the first part, I think, in stepping out in faith. We don't go by how we feel, because if we really truly are honest with ourselves and honest with God, a lot of times we don't feel faith, right? Is that an honest statement? We don't feel faith. When we're walking out our healing, we might not feel healed yet in our physical body. When we're standing and believing for something, we might not feel it just yet. And here is a modern day hero, if I can call her that, a modern day hero of faith. And the title of the book is First Things. And the author says that Mother Teresa, about her, she struggled with feelings of doubt, loneliness, and spiritual abandonment. Would you ever think that about her? Yet despite that, she chose to personify and communicate the way of faith, love, and hope, whatever her feelings may have been. So it's not about what we feel. It's about what we know. It's about the truth of God's word, bypassing our feelings. That's what faith is. And the author continued to say, faith must supply what is lacking in our feeble senses. Faith supplies us with what our senses don't have. Faith supplies us with that peace. Faith supplies us with that confidence. Faith supplies us with that knowing. That's what faith is. Amen? So we're going to start right in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 tonight. All these died in faith, guided, sustained by it, without receiving tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen, anticipated them, and having welcomed them from a distance, having knowledge that they were strangers and exiles here on earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of that country from which they departed as their true home, they would have had a continuing opportunity to return. Verse 16, but the truth is that they were longing for a better country, that is a heavenly one. For this reason, God is not ashamed of them or to be called their God or even be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. So let's just take a look at these scripture verses here tonight to start. This portion of scripture verses is clumping in those of faith, saying that they lived here on earth as if they didn't belong here. That's how we can live each day. Because right, we're clumping ourselves in to be a hero of faith. So we are identifying now with these that are heroes of faith, saying, we might be here, but this is not where we belong. So how does that change our outlook and our attitude when we say, we're going to live life here, but we don't belong here? Because we are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. So we have kingdom rights. We have kingdom authority, and we follow the regulations of heaven. Amen? Amen. And when we do that, that can change our whole perspective of our daily life. Right? We're talking about a lifestyle of faith, a daily awareness of God in our life, which means God has something for us to do here as his ambassador. So when we live here as if we don't belong here, that's going to change how we live every day. Amen? Amen. That's how we should be living every day. That outward living of, I'm on a mission, I'm sent here as an ambassador from heaven. I know my rights are heaven's rights. I know my authority is heaven's authority, but I also know that I have a job and a purpose to do with that mandate. Amen? So as we do that, we have a hope for our future. And that's what these verses are saying here, that each of these that are mentioned, we're not stuck in the present because they always knew that there was a hope of a better place. So when we get that foresight and we get that way of thinking, we're not going to get so caught up in the present circumstances of our day because we know that we have a better place that we're going to. There's a better place. We are not of this world. Amen. We belong to heaven. We have heaven as our eternal home. And when we start to get that, that starts to bring excitement. And things that take place around us may not seem so critical when we realize that we have eternity in front of us. Amen. Amen. So that's what we want to have, a faith that we realize and acknowledge that we are not of this world. We don't belong here. This is not our permanent dwelling place. And when we have that mindset every day, that will change the course of our actions throughout the day. We might calm down as we're running through a store and, you know, being so set on a time and look around us. Maybe give us, the Lord wants us to take a chance to witness to somebody, to be kind to somebody, to go out of our way to somebody. When we realize that being caught up in the busyness and the day to day is not what we are called to be caught up in. We're called to be caught up in heavenly mindedness. Amen? Amen? And that's what living a life of faith is about. And then next in verse 16, it says, God was not ashamed to be called their God, even surnamed, which means God placed his name in front of their name, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That God will claim us as his own and him as ours when we live a life of faith. Is God pleased to be called your God? Will God say, I am the God of Juliana? I am the God of Tony. I am the God of the Washington family. When we live by faith, God will take that name on. I am the God of Harvest Church. God will be proud to say, I am their God because they are living a lifestyle of faith. To me, that became a challenge to say, you know, we walk around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Christ. You know, we can claim God to be our God, but it's different when God says he's our God. So we can claim I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. We can put it on a post and we could wear Christian t-shirts and I love that. And I don't post anymore because I'm not good at it. So I just stopped. But we can read, you know, post after post, and that's wonderful. And those could be really encouraging. But what is behind the person that makes that post? Will God be called your God? Or are you just claiming to be a Christian? Are you just claiming I'm a believer? Are you just claiming, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ because I went to church yesterday? So don't claim to be a follower of Christ if God's not going to say I am their God. And we know we are never going to be more loved by God than we are in this moment. We don't earn God's love, but faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. I want to be a God pleaser. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I've been really enjoying studying this. And what's so funny is just a little side note in my study habits that when the Holy Spirit has me start to put together a message and I get it all out, and it could be months ahead of time. So when I sit down a couple of days before, I feel like I've already spoken it. I feel like I've already said this. And I look at my notes and go, Lord, didn't I already do this part already? And because it's just been in there so long. So I'm excited to get it all out tonight. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, let's move on. We're just going to go step by step through these verses tonight. So we want God to be proud to be called our God, to be surnamed our God. That should be something that motivates us, something that really gives us insight into our daily actions. Amen. Verse 17 through 19, let's look again at Abraham. Abraham listed twice. You know, and I thought this was interesting because of all the stories in the Old Testament, right? We know the book of Hebrews is referring to Old Testament. Abraham's listed twice out of all the people. I thought that was amazing that he got his name listed twice. You know, when we're thinking about it as a, you know, Hall of Fame and you're looking at, you know, personal records and PRs, right? And who can break records? Well, I think Abraham might have broken a few records. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, That is, the testing of his faith was still in progress, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises of God was ready to sacrifice his only son of promise, to whom it is said, through Isaac your descendants shall be called. Verse 19, for he considered it reasonable to believe that God was able to raise Isaac even from among the dead, indeed, in the sense that he was prepared to sacrifice Isaac in obedience to God. Abraham did receive back from God his promise. Let's just talk about this for a moment, because Abraham taking Isaac to the altar, again, you know, we look at these as if they're still flannel graph stories from our childhood Sunday school lessons. No, these are men and women who walked with God and whose faith was tested. Have you felt your faith being tested? Because right here, Abraham had to decide, do I truly believe what God said? We will all hit moments in our walk with the Lord that truly test us. Do I truly believe what the Word of God says? Do I truly trust in God's promises? Do I really believe this? And that's what Abraham was faced when he was walking Isaac up that mountain to sacrifice his only son, the son that was the promise of God to him. His faith was still in progress. The Amplified says the testing of his faith. The King James Version reads, when he was tried. Do you feel like your faith is being tried? When you're like, Lord, this was my promise that I would walk in divine health and wholeness, and I'm still struggling. Do we truly believe that divine health and wholeness belongs to us? When your faith is being tried, when you're believing and standing for household salvation, but yet there's still things out of sorts. Are we truly going to walk our promise out? That's what we're being questioned with tonight. Is the testing, when we are faced with truly, do we believe God will do what he has promised? It sounds like such a simple statement. Do you believe God? And we all say, yes, I do. But here's where the tests come in. Here's where we're being tested on the progress, right? Isn't that what tests are for? You do classes, and then at the end, you check your progress with a test. We're all going to be faced with that test in our progress, in our walk of faith. But Abraham, we can have the same faith that Abraham. Remember, as we're walking through this chapter, this is for us to glean. This is for us to take. This is for us to stir up a faith that believes that God is who he says he is, just as Abraham did. It says in verse 19, for he concluded, he reasoned. He said, God is God. That was his conclusion at the end of it all, walking up the mountain. I reasoned that this is the promise God gave me. So either God's going to supply or he's just going to raise him up from the dead. He concluded God is still God and his promises are real. And if I held my promise once, I'm going to hold my promise again. So my question to you tonight and from the Holy Spirit is, do you conclude without a shadow of a doubt that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that if God gave me my one promise, God is going to give me another promise? Do we believe that if God showed himself faithful back there, he will show himself faithful here, and he will show himself faithful in our future? That's the faith Abraham had, and that's the faith that we can possess tonight. Amen? Amen. Amen. Have we taken our promises to the altar? Have we taken our promise truly to the altar and laid it down? God, here's my sacrifice. Here's my promise. I trust you, God, that you're going to supply, you're going to raise this promise back up again. Amen? Amen. Amen. Reason, he concluded, the only solution was in Abraham's mind at that moment. God will either supply another sacrifice, or he'll raise him up. Amen. It was that simple in Abraham's mind. And sometimes we overcomplicate God. We overcomplicate the situations. We overcomplicate things when we add ourselves into. Abraham could have thought, I'm sure, of another way. Well, I'll go out, I'll do a hunt, and then I'll come back with the perfect sacrifice. It overcomplicated it. Sent somebody out and said, hey, can you give me your sheep? Can you give me that ram? And he would have missed out on watching God fulfill the promise for himself. Don't overcomplicate things. Trust God. Trust God. That's what faith is, trust in God. Amen. We trust you, God. We trust you, Jesus. Amen. Let's go further. verse 20 through 22. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. These three men are listed here in verses 20 through 22. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And they're not listed in the hall of faith for moments we would assume. If you hear the name Isaac, you might say, oh yeah, he remembers when he almost was sacrificed, right? That might be his moment of faith. We're talking about moments of their faith that was notable to God. When you hear the name Jacob, do you think of, well, Jacob wrestled with God? Like, what do you think of? What might be that moment of faith? And what about for Joseph? Joseph's story is so long. Is this moment going to be when you first hear their names, when Joseph went to prison, when he was sold by his brothers? Will that be his moment of faith? When he interpreted the dreams, or when he saved the known world then from famine, would that be the moments that are listed here in this hall of faith? No. Let's read what was listed as the moments of faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, believing God revealed to him regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and bowed in worship, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, referred to the promise of God, the exodus of the son, and gave instructions of the burial of his bones. These three men, what was listed here, what stuck out to me from this portion was that they spoke over their families and they spoke into the future. That is what will be your moment of faith. When we speak out over our families, when we declare we can see ahead, God had them speak over their families into the future, and that God's promise to them was connected to those ahead of them. Joseph was saying right here, he's saying to his family, you're going to get out of Egypt. And when you get out of Egypt, you're going to take my bones with you. So that's like you saying to your family, we're not staying in this present crisis. We're not staying in confusion and in what the world would call dysfunction. We're not staying here. We're coming out of this. And when we come out, we're coming out together. Amen. Speak out over our families. Declare not where we are, but where we want to see our families. That's the power of the spoken word. That's the power of laying hands and blessing on. Fathers, sons, grandfathers, men, if I can encourage you, I was raised in a godly home. I had a father that prayed for me. I have a spiritual father and a father in the natural, in pastor. That when these men of God speak over our family, it makes a difference. There is a difference when Paulie speaks over our children. Amen. Father, speak over your children. Yep. Young men of God, rise up and declare Amen. Over your generations. Amen. 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 And this is not, women are powerful, and we know we are warring women. And we know our place, and we know that we can wield the sword of the Spirit mighty, and we know we can hold up our shields of faith. Amen. We know that. We know our place. We know we are strong in the Lord. But right here listed is men of faith speaking out over their families. So please take note. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know I feel a difference when pastor walks through those doors because there's anointing on the man of God. And that same anointing that he carries into this house, each of you men can carry in your homes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, the faith moments listed here was when they spoke out over their families. Speak God's destiny out over the next generation. That's what Joseph was doing. He spoke destiny out over his family and said, you're coming out of Egypt. And when you come out, you're going to take my bones. I'm not going to be laid here. Which is interesting. Joseph saved Egypt. It's where a better portion of Joseph's life was, but he didn't want to be recognized and left there. He said, you're going to go from here, and I want my bones going into the promised land. What's the promised land ahead for you and your family? Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. What are the promises of God for you and your household? And declare them out in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, that's what the Word of God is. It's for our daily instruction in our lives, to live a life of faith. Amen. A lifestyle with the Lord. Moses. Let's talk a little bit about Moses. I found it very interesting when we hit this portion of Scripture, and it really covers all of Moses' life, and there's not many Old Testament people we get to see from start to finish, but Moses we do. So Moses, from the point of his birth, we see faith take place, and take action, I should say. We see faith take action the moment Moses is born. So let's read verses 23 through 28, and then we'll see what the Holy Spirit has for us. By faith, Moses, after his birth, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was beautiful and divinely favored child, and they were not afraid of the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he preferred to endure the hardship of the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of the Christ, that is the rebuke he would suffer for his faithful obedience to God, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked ahead to the reward promised by God. By faith he left Egypt, being unafraid of the wrath of the king, for he endured steadfastly as seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. Let's stop right here for a moment and talk a little bit about Moses, because we want to start with his parents and the faith that his parents had. Faith can be instilled in us at any age. Any age when you come to know the Lord, you start a new heritage. Praise God. We change bloodlines. Praise God. Generational curses are left behind. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I am so thankful for the power of a generational change and inheritance of the kingdom of God in my life. But once we grasp hold of that, may we see the importance of raising our children and our household in that faith. Amen? And continuing with it. And that's what took place here with Moses' parents. They saw with eyes of faith, their spiritual eyes, so that their faith became greater than fear. The faith that they had in holding on to their son, instilling in him for the time that they had him, was greater than the fear of what was the law that was put in front of them. Faith became greater than fear. In the world right now, we need our faith to become greater than fear. In our everyday life, we need our faith in God, our trust in God, to become greater than fear, greater than what's taking place in the world, greater than the law that was put in place here. The fear of God, our faith becoming greater than the fear of man. The foundation of faith that they were able to instill in him in those first few years changed the course of his life. See, although Moses was in Egypt, Egypt was never in Moses. I'm going to say that again. Although Moses was in Egypt, Egypt was never in Moses. Why? Because the foundation of faith that his parents instilled in him from that young age. Parents, please be encouraged. As our children are in the world, it does not mean the world is in them. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. When we place in our children the fact that they have a greater calling than what the world is telling them, when we tell our children their identity is in Christ Jesus, not in what the world is telling them, their purpose, they have a greater knowledge, they have a greater destiny, they will always come back to that. At one time, at one point in Moses' life, he realized, I don't belong here. Something in him stirred up to bubbling over, saying to him, you do not belong here. And I believe our children, each one, the children of Harvest Church, the children of Chosen Generation, know that they may be in the world, but they are not of this world. And we're going to decree tonight that the children of Harvest Church have hero faith. They have hero faith because Moses' faith was so strong in him that his faith allowed him to be mistreated. We're going to be mistreated sometimes. Our kids are going to be sidelined sometimes because of their faith. But they're going to have faith to be separate, and they're going to have faith to stand apart. That's the kind of faith Moses had. Faith to be separate and faith to stand apart. Faith that says, I am not of this world. I might be here, but this is not where I'm staying. This is not where I belong. Our children know the power of the truth that they carry. Just like Moses rose up and said, I don't belong here. I don't identify with this place. Our children, when the foundation of the word has been placed on the inside of them, will have that same knowledge, that same confidence, that same faith of knowing. To the point where Moses acted on it. To the point where he was willing to live in discomfort. He was willing to be persecuted. To the point where we're going to hit a point, church, I believe, in the days to come, where we're going to be made to feel really uncomfortable for what we believe. But our faith will allow us to be separate. Our faith will sustain us too, that through that feeling uncomfortable. That's the faith that Moses had. By faith, he rose up. By faith, he stood before Pharaoh and said, I don't belong here. By faith, he left and went to a place unknown and came back again and said, not only did I leave, but now I want to take all these people with me. That's faith. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater than the greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking towards a heavenly reward. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's verse 27 in chapter 11. By faith, he left Egypt, being unafraid of the wrath of the king, for he endured steadfastly as seeing him who is unseen. So Moses had heavenly eyes to see the invisible God. Are we allowing the Lord to give us heavenly vision to see him, the invisible God, and not what is around us and not fearful of man? You know, the fear of man will be a snare to us and will hold us back from walking out the promises of God. But when we trust God and our confidence is truly in God, who God is, then we can walk out and leave a situation that we were connected to. Remember, we said that walking, stepping out of the boat, faith. Sometimes we're so connected to and our identity is in something that we're afraid to walk out of it. But when you think about the fact that Moses grew up, because so many times we're so connected with people that we grew up with, that when we start walking out our salvation and our new inheritance, we're afraid to step away from relationships. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house and then had to come back to the same people who raised him and said, I'm leaving here and I'm taking all these people with me. What do you think their reaction was to him at first? Do you think maybe they called him ungrateful? Do you think they might have said, who do you think you are to think after everything we've given you, after everything we've done, we spared your life, and now you're going to just walk out and leave and try to take a nation with you? That's what he was taking a nation with him. But the fear of man will be a snare. Moses did not let the fear of stepping up in front of Pharaoh and saying, I am walking out of here, and I am taking God's people with me. That's the kind of faith that can stir up in our hearts. That's the kind of faith that our children have, just as Moses was in Egypt, but Egypt was not in Moses. Parents, do not be fearful of your children going. I know that feeling of putting my babies on a bus, that big yellow monster I used to call it. But part of it was just trusting God with my children. The enemy wants us to be fearful, putting our kids out in school, putting them on a bus, sending them away to college. But we trust God. Do we trust God? Do we trust God with our promises? Our children are our promises. Do we trust God, knowing that we have instilled the word in them, that God will protect, God will overshadow, the word is working in them. Amen. As we close, let's just make some, I felt to just make some declarations over the kids of Harvest Church and our children. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come before you, the body of Christ at Harvest Church, lifting up the children, lifting up our young people, Lord, lifting up, Lord, our young adults before you, O God, declaring over them today that they will walk in the ways of the Lord all the days of their life, that they will despise what is evil and cling to what is good. Lord, that they will be a light in a dark world and they will be salt to this earth. We thank you, Lord, that the children of Harvest Church, of Chosen Generation, Lord, they have hero faith. They have faith that they can be set apart. They have faith that will not change their identity. They have faith, Lord God, that says, God is my God, and I will serve no other. I thank you, Lord Jesus. We, Lord, have a generation of children that will not bow to the idols of this world in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord God, right now, a hedge of protection and a wall of fire over our children, over each one. Protect them from the ways of this world, from the idolatry, Lord God, from antichrist spirits, Lord Jesus, from spirits of perversion, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, right now that there's a blanket of purity over them. Purity in mind, purity in thinking, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, right now for a hedge of protection, Lord, that they are hidden in Christ Jesus from the plans and pursuits of the enemy. Our children are hidden under the shadow of the Most High God. And just as Moses placed the blood over the doorpost that the death angel would pass over, we plead the blood of Jesus over our children, that every plan and scheme in pursuit of the enemy can't even find them. It must pass over. They are so hidden under the shadow of the Most High God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this tonight. We bind up a spirit of fear that would try to rob the hearts of their parents and family. Oh God, we will not be bound to fear. We are loosed from it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, when we pray and we speak over our children, we will speak in faith and not in fear. We will speak knowing that we are confident in your word and in your promises, O God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Great is the peace of our children, for they are taught of you. We bind up mental anguish and anxiety and depression trying to lay upon the children of this generation. We bind it up in Jesus' name. And we say, great is the peace of our children, for they are taught of the Lord. And we declare, Lord God, that everything that they do, they will be successful, and everything that they touch is blessed, that they walk out every day in favor and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.